ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The AFL says it is unapologetic after revelations that club doctors test players for illicit substances and quietly sit them out of matches if they test positive. The real reason for a player's absence isn't revealed publicly. The Code's CEO, Andrew Dillon, says it's done to protect players' health as well as the integrity of the game, and the league is now reviewing its illicit drugs policy. Dr. Peter Larkins is a specialist sports and exercise physician who has worked with a number of Australian sports teams and joins us this morning. Dr. Larkins, welcome.
Yeah, good morning. Nice to speak with you.
Is this a case of white lies over white lines?
Nice line there. So, look, it's a complex situation. The illicit drug program was introduced 2 years ago, Patricia, because of the increasing concern about illicit drug use like cocaine, ketamine, amphetamines in the community generally. And obviously in the age group of football, 20 to 30, it was going to be an issue. So there was a welfare program introduced to try to intervene if players were detected so they got counselling. That morphed into a third layer where players could self-report. If they think they'd transgressed, they were able to go to their club doctor confidentially and say, look, I made a mistake. I was at a party. I think I might have taken, for example, cocaine. And they were tested, and therefore they were put into a rehabilitation program. This is the point that's being missed. They weren't just swept under the carpet, as I've heard other people say. So the rehabilitation program was designed to find out why they'd been on that cocaine and to try to get them off it so they didn't become addicted or become substance users. But in the course of that, they weren't allowed to play while they were undergoing rehabilitation under medical care, because if they played and got tested, of course, they were subject to a WADA ban separate, which could be 2 to 4 years.
Okay. What do you make then of Andrew Dillon yesterday saying essentially that they test these players for their own good? Do you think he's right?
Well, as I said, the spirit and intent of the illicit drug program, separate from the performance-enhancing international WADA program that all the Olympics and all the other sports have, the intention of the illicit program was to be a welfare program so that players in the AFL system were monitored more carefully than their mates in the community. And it was a strike policy. And the strike policy was controversial in my eyes because it was a three-strike policy. So no one really got into trouble as a player until they had three strikes. So they really had to be the naughty boys to go three times in terms of transgressing and having a positive test. But it was intended to be, under the guidance of the Drug and Rehabilitation Advisory Group that the AFL brought in, that it was a mental health issue occasionally with these players. And so they shouldn't be shamed and named. And therefore, it was meant to be an intervention program, and still is. Every 18 clubs around the league are doing this at the present time. It's just that one club clearly has brought this to the attention of the public through the parliamentary statements.
Okay, and I mean, I'm a big supporter of sunshine being a very important form of disinfectant. Do you believe this drug testing is only confined to illicit substances?
Oh, yes, I do. I mean, the doctors are busy enough to without being running. I mean, they've got to look after a lot of things at the club, but it is a doctor-patient program designed to intervene, as I said, for young men and now young women that the AFL is going, of course, as well with the AFLW, because it's happening there, where the intention is it's the illicit program. We know that in the society, in that similar age group, these players are exposed every week, and as the people in the media are, and people in the entertainment industry, and people in my medical industry, Patricia. So we're not sort of got our head in the sand to know that these players aren't exposed to, and I'm primarily talking about cocaine, ketamine, amphetamines, ecstasy. So we're talking about illicit, not the performance-enhancing drugs. That's what this program is. And the intention is to make them better players at the end of their experience in the league, to get intervention when they may not get it if they were in society.
So what's the point of the AFL's illicit drugs policy if players can go to their doctor, get a test, quietly sit out a match and avoid any scrutiny or ramifications, though?
Well, there are ramifications. The ramifications are that they have to comply if it's done properly, and this is where the onus is on the club doctor, and I can't speak for all 18 club doctors, but I know what the program and what the agreement is. The ramifications are they have to undergo a rehabilitation program under the guidance of either the club doctor or an appointed drug rehabilitation person if that club doctor doesn't have the skills to do drug rehabilitation. The point is to educate the players, and it's supposed to be, as I said, a medical model, not a punitive model.
The AFL is reviewing the illicit drugs policy in conjunction with the Players Association. So what needs to come out of this review in your view?
Well, I think clearly the fact that we're still getting so many cases of it, the deterrent isn't strong enough. So my attitude as a person who's come from an Olympic sport background, Patricia, is I still think the players can exploit the system. I think there needs to be, and the people that are recurrent offenders, I think the doctors have to have an ability to be able to say to that player, look, I'm not going to keep putting you in the rehabilitation program if you keep coming back to me having transgressed. So I think the change in the program, it has to be a bigger deterrent. Whilst it's not supposed to be punitive, there has to be some way that players know there'll be consequences if they continue to offend. But I want to make the point that a lot of players who have had one single transgression have been saved by this program, and because of the intervention, they haven't gone down the wrong path. So it has been effective in being a medical model to assist many players over the 20 years to get the assistance they wouldn't otherwise get. But it's not without its flaws, and the program needs to be reviewed because clearly there are the players who will exploit that, and the doctors are not allowed to take that information to the league under the current arrangements.
And you think they should be able to?
Well, I guess I'm heading that way because I want some way that the doctors don't have to continue to exclude a player from playing, put them into a program for a period of time. The fans don't get told why they're out. It's often has to be, you know, personal reasons, or it might be they're managed. There's all these other terms that come in why your favourite player isn't at the MCG playing this Saturday. So I think there has to be some other way of making the players aware that there is a consequence to their career if they continue to do this. But it can't be a single strike, you know, shame and name on the front page of the national papers. I guess that's the thing I'm saying. We can't have that. But we need to be better at than it is at the present time. Hence the review by the AFL, who I'm not representing in this interview with you. I'm just giving my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really important subject, I think. Dr. Peter Larkins, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Peter Larkins is a specialist sports and exercise physician.
It's easier than ever to hear your favourite local and national ABC radio stations, live and on demand on the ABC Listen app.